couldn't take me no rest.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. You just heard Skip James, Devil Got My Woman, and that's because he died on this day, and we, part of our day in history, we play the music of those who were born and left us. And I should put your headphones, I'm sorry, Tom, right there. I apologize. We're about to have a conversation here with somebody who I've been looking forward to talking to a long time, who is coming to Baltimore, Imam Faisal Abdul Arouf, who, as many people know, was the center of the storm when they wanted to build the mosque near where the Twin Towers went down, or they said it was near where the Twin Towers went down at any rate. But he's really one of our leading spiritual figures, whose father came to this country, who was also a leading spiritual figure, who was close to Malcolm X, that he has written numerous books that we'll talk about as well. He was educated in England, Malaysia, Egypt, the United States, and he's with us here today. He's chairman of the Cordoba Initiative, author of Moving the Mountain, A New Vision of Islam in America, one of his latest books, one of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World in 2011, and received the Search for Common Ground Award for Interfaith Diplomacy in 2012. And the group bringing him to Baltimore is a group that we've been associated with here, the Mark Steiner Show, for the last 20 years, which is the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. The president of their board is with us in the studio, Tom Brown. He has been with Joseph Klein Associates since 1983, where he oversees medical and financial underwriting and more. And good to have you both with us.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Imam, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So let me begin just quickly, Tom. Talk to us about what the Institute of Christian and Jewish Studies is doing and why the Imam is coming to town, then we'll launch into our conversation with the Imam.
Well, the Imam's arrival is actually a very crucial and important part of our agenda. The Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies was founded 25 years ago to try to diffuse religious hatred and intolerance and misunderstanding through a very intensive form of interfaith dialogue. It's been very successful, and we are now expanding and have been expanding into trying to incorporate Islam. And one of our important initiatives in this, our 25th anniversary year, is to have the Imam come and speak to us tonight at Goucher College at 7:30 this evening in the Crash Hour Auditorium. And certainly, if I can take a moment, I would encourage everybody to try and come. I think it'll be a most interesting and fascinating evening, and I am personally looking forward to it with great relish.
I am, too. I'm afraid we'll not be in town over the weekend. I'm so sorry about that, but I've always been an admirer of your work, Imam, and I want to welcome you to the show. Let me just start by asking this question, and it's a very simple question. Talk a bit about the Cordoba Initiative. I think that historically that those of us who do study history think of the world of Cordoba as a place where Muslims, Christians, and Jews, especially Muslims and Jews, actually lived in harmony. Talk a bit about your initiative.
Yes, the name Cordoba was chosen. I began the initiative after 9/11, although I've been involved in interfaith dialogue for really all my life, and certainly since I came to this country, interfaith dialogue between Christians and Muslims and Jews became the major part of our interfaith work, whereas before that in Malaysia it used to be between Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. And after 9/11, there was a very strong feeling on the part of many of my friends that we needed to do something far more robust in bridging or healing or improving U.S. Muslim relations. And I found the Cordoba Initiative to focus on that work, and we focus on it by identifying those issues that we believe are the sources of the conflict. And defining our own work in that space. Of course, there are many issues that we are not able to do because they require the involvement of governments, for example. I mean, primary among them is solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which really has done more to harm, Jewish-Muslim relations than any other thing, in human history. Certainly, in the current environment, once this thing is resolved, Muslim-Jewish relationships will very rapidly improve. But to be able to identify this thing, to speak to it, to identify players who are already playing in that space, and to amplify their work is the kind of thing we do. On the other hand, there are some things that we feel that has not been done that we as a non-state actor can do. Then we certainly have taken those, and one of them is the identifying the issues within the Muslim community, within the Muslim world, that we believe is a source of major conflict. One of them, for instance, is what does the word Islamic State mean? This is something which began about a century and a half ago, just about the same time when Theodor Herzl began the concept and pushed the idea of a Jewish state.
Right.
Around the same time, Muslim thinkers began to float the idea of an Islamic state. And although that phrasing is not part of our tradition, not part of our theology, not part of our jurisprudential tradition, it has over the last century become something of increasing, around which a lot of passion has been built, and a lot of the Muslim world is fragmented around that. I mean, what is happening in Egypt today, in Tunisia today, really is defined by those who are pushing for the idea of an Islamic state and those who believe that the state should be secular. So we have a project which has sought to define that from an Islamic legal thought perspective, which we believe is important. And in fact, I submitted it. I went to Egypt this last August and submitted this a synopsis of this work to the current interim government as a means of bridging the ideological divide in Egypt. So that's the kind of thing that we do.
not too broad and large a task, I would say, Imam. But
you have to aspire to greatness, and
yes, you do.
Where the real issues are.
So there are other issues. We don't have a lot of time on this because it's a very kind of we just realized today we could actually get this done on the air with you. We look forward to a much larger conversation with you, and for you coming to Baltimore tonight to really to be heard by lots of people. And I think Baltimore should flock to this to hear the Imam this evening. But let me just take two quick things if we have time. One is when you said earlier in the conversation about the core of the issue. And could you define for me what you mean by the core of the issue? I mean, because it's so complex. I mean, whether you look at it in terms of the historical context of the 1,000-year-old history of conflict between Christians and Muslims in this world, to the modern conflicts, again, as you mentioned, within Islam, and now between Jews and Muslims, and you see the conflict going between Buddhists and Muslims in places like Burma and other countries. That said, it's very intense. So, how would you define the core?
The core reasons for any conflict is unique to that particular context. Like, if you look, for example, to the Protestant Catholic, the Irish Troubles, as they call them,
right,
between Protestants and Catholics in the context of Ireland. Now, you have to look at each context. Each context had its own unique set of what I call conflict vectors, the issues that are driving the conflict. Most conflicts, almost all conflicts, are really based upon three fundamental sources. People fight over ideology, over political power, over economic or things of economic value. And then the conflict becomes defined by the different identity tags, and that identity tags can be anything. They can be based upon skin color, like the race conflict in the United States. And in the past, it can be defined by religious identity, such as Muslims versus Jews in Israel. And the conflict there is primarily about land, and who owns that land and how it was acquired. So if you can solve the underlying issue, you really could solve the conflict. The conflict between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland was about the sense that Irish Catholics felt they didn't have parity with the Irish Protestants on the issue of political power and economic parity. It has nothing to do with theology. It's just that the group identifies itself around that. The conflict in Syria is defined by sectarian conflict within the Muslim community between the Shia and the Sunni. Is the primary, and then of course the relative degrees of power, where you have a Alawite, which is a branch of the Shia community, ruling over a majority Sunni community, whereas in Bahrain it's the other way around. So you basically have to unpack the particular issues which are driving the conflict, and then figure out a way to solve them, and that's the theoretical or the intellectual answer to the solution. Implementing it is another issue, but first you have
right.
to understand the problem and then figure out the solution or engineer the solution, which once you've done that, the rest is implementation. Now, implementation is not easy. I mean, it is very difficult, but being able to define the problem is as a great teacher of mine said, is usually the most difficult part of solving it.
I one of the things you said, I think that people had not thought about it at all. We only have like 2 minutes left, unfortunately, in this segment, and I want to make sure people see you this evening. Is the idea that the notion and the idea of an Islamic state kind of born within the 20th century, much similar to the notion of a Jewish state, is something I think most people have not wrestled with at all, even thought about, that those two are kind of 20th century or much more modern constructions?
Yes, because you see the previous model of rule was the emperor, the empire model of rule. The modern nation state is only about, you know, 3 centuries old. And the United States played an important role in creating the concept of a republic, which is basically based upon what I call the corporate concept, where instead of a human being ruling over a human being, we had now the corporation. You know, every corporation is founded with bylaws, and you elect, you know, the stockholders in the corporation elect the president, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer, you know, and what, that was the model that the United States was established on. And to be a stockholder, you had to be a landholder. That was the original concept of the United States. And we elected our president. So it came out of a new concept of and what it meant to be a citizen, what it meant to be a stockholder in this particular concept called a nation state, and how is the nation state defined. So it shifted the whole concept of identity from a people-based concept to a geography. Now, if you are a member of this particular corporate entity, you have to belong to a particular identity. And a lot of the conflicts that we have today in the world are really leftovers from the shift from what I call a people-based, empire-based form of rule to the nation-state form of rule. So you have...
No, I was just saying we're just about out of time, and I do want to really... I hope we have time for a longer conversation here together on the air. I really do, and I want to encourage...
I'd be happy to do that, Mark. Again on your show.
I would welcome that. And I want to remind everyone, please, tonight, the Institute for Christian Jewish Studies tonight presents a Muslim perspective on the interreligious dialogue with our guest right now, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, tonight, October 3rd, 7:30, at the Crash Hour Auditorium at Goucher College, 1021 Delaney Valley Road, on Goucher University. Goucher College. The Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, founder and chairman of the Cordoba Initiative, will discuss conflicts that arise in a religiously plural world in this very complex and important way that he's been talking about these last few minutes that brings in Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and this focus also on the special tensions within Islam and how they shape Islamic relations with Jewish, Christian, and other non-Islamic communities. So, and this is the final presentation of the 25th anniversary speaker series for the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. So, Imam, welcome to Baltimore. Tom Brown, thank you for coming in.
Thank
Chairman of the Board of ICDS. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And all of you go out tonight and really have a chance to have dialogue in a way you don't usually have it with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies and the Imam. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to take a very brief break, and when we come back, we're going to go out with Talib Kweli's Memories Live. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Edward Erickson about a really compelling investigative piece he's writing for the City Paper.
And get a collection of all the music and everything we ever done. Flatbush and going to house parties, red lights, bumping life is what you make it, then sorry.